Sorry, man, I didn't want to be doing the prayer.
I've got it.
You got it?
Okay.
Shame on me.
Hymn number 117, we'll sing all three verses.
For Brother Danny, George is there for us.
There's only two verses.
Yeah.
417.
You said 117, yeah.
All right, this is the way my day had seemed. So class, no telling where we'll end up at. Right here, 417, all right. Three verses, are we there, my God and I? I'm on the right page.
Yes.
All right. My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows new. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter.
Stronger Christians, have a better relationship with you as a result of this. We pray, Father, that we'll be able to take things from this study this evening, be able to share them with others as appropriate. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunities that we do have in this community. We pray that those doors can continue to open for us, and we'll be bold enough to meet them, to have a ready answer as you have required of us. But we pray for those who are not able to be here this evening. We have several members with medical challenges of various sorts. We pray that we'll be with those who are ill, those who are healing. We pray they might be able to rejoin us, continue here in the work. And also, Father, we do have several members who are away from us, including both elders as they're out traveling. We pray that all those who are away likewise might be able to be restored to us at the next appointed time, so that we can be with all of our fellow Christians here. Father, we pray for those each of us in attendance today. We pray that We have your word on our mind, and that we are, our students will be ready, well prepared for their classes. Also, teachers, who are familiar with their materials, they might be able to present things in such a way that the rest of us will be able to grasp it easily. We pray, Father, for those who are around us who have not yet heard your word, that we might be able to reach out to them in some capacity for this congregation as we continue on, for our elders and the many decisions that they have to make as they seek to lead the flock. We pray our sins might be forgiven, and that all these things can be done in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Book of 1 John, in the second chapter, so the first six verses, well, almost verse six, last week, again, my question would be to open up, and we are to explain the first six verses. What one or two key takeaways can we get out of these verses that we can tell others? They ask, hey, what's going on in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6? Your answer would be?
Propitiation for our sins.
Okay, big one. What is propitiation? I mean, we had these big ones. Quarter word is
atonement.
Atonement. Appeasing something, redeeming, okay. What else? Nancy.
Keep his word.
Word, okay. Got a long discussion about keeping the commandments, my commandments, keep my word.
No God.
No God, okay. Still looking for one.
Verse one.
Advocate, okay, here we go. Got to have an advocate. What is an advocate? Yeah, on our behalf, and obviously that is Jesus. And why is that important?
Why do we need to have Jesus as an advocate?
Can do it ourselves.
Speak to the Father.
He was our propitiation for our sins. He paid our debt. Okay, does that mean that we get to sin and say, hey, we're just going to ask? No. Okay, our mediator. Just can't keep sinning, because we can go back to what is it, Galatians. You know, do we sin? Certainly not. You know, but grace may be found. All right. Got down to verse 6, which is question 4. How can we come to know him? We had the lengthy conversation on keeping his commandments and keeping his word. The third part of that is in verse number 6. Okay? That we walk in the same manner as he walked. And who's the he, obviously?
Jesus
is Christ. Okay, now I got some verses. So we started in the back, we're going to come up to the middle. So Nancy, down. And then we're going to go to the back and up front, but I don't want everybody to keep turning around up front, like, okay, who's, how many more folks? Okay, so again, we're going to go to Romans 6, 3 through 6. And Kelsey, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. TJ, you got Galatians 5, 16, and then verse 25. We'll end it right there. And Nancy, when you get Romans 6, 3, go ahead.
Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin.
How can we walk in his likeness according to Romans 6 here?
Be
baptized. Be baptized, okay. Walk in the newness of life, and he compares that with
old man.
Sin before baptism, new man, okay. So we walk in the newness of life. Yeah, so the 2 Corinthians 5:7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
He's one to put the memory. Well, I have faith, okay? There's that part of it. Galatians 5:16 and then 25, CJ.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
All right, so we're going to walk by faith, walk by the Spirit. Walk like Jesus walked, and get the idea that we're supposed to be. And I didn't put this one in here. I want to go on with Brother Tony's, you know your Bible, okay? What verse says, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ? First or second Corinthians. Okay. But yet, we're into imitating. You know, Paul's saying, imitate him as he is imitating Jesus on that. Next row. Kevin. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Okay. Sam, if you want to take Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And come across. Who's on that row? Michael? Ephesians 5, 8, and then verse 15. Go ahead, Kevin.
What was the one with for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God made advance for us to do.
All right. Created by Christ Jesus, good works, prepared for him, we walk in them. Walk in who? Who is them? Take that as Jesus and his Father. Okay. Sam, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2.
If ye therefore are followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Walk in love. Michael, go ahead in verse 8 and 15 for us.
Ephesians 5.
Yes.
Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Put the verses together. How are we supposed to walk? Ephesians 5.
Upright. Calm.
Yep. Not in darkness, but in light. We'll talk about this later on in 1 John for Apollos, as far as that goes. Also, walk wise instead of unwise. We got a lot of walking to do. I mean, you take this one little verse, 6, you know, walking the same amount, okay, we just spit out the words, but yet we're still going. Philippians 3:17. And then, let's see here, it looks like Colossians 1:10. Next row.
Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us.
Okay. Not only walk towards Paul's example, but to observe others and walk in the same pattern. What's that pattern?
Same.
Okay. God's word. Got the pattern right here. Here's our pattern. You all keep walking in. Colossians 1:10.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God.
This one is a powerful verse in this. We are to walk in a manner worthy, just not to walk in God, but worthy of the Lord. What else? Please him. What else?
Knowledge.
Increasing knowledge of God.
Okay, before that, bearing fruit, every good work. That's powerful. I mean, we're supposed to walk in him, and here we are. Yeah, we'll do those three as well. Colossians 2:6, Stacy, and then Sandy, 1 Thessalonians 2:12.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him.
Stacy, go ahead. Stacy, Sandy, when you get here, 1 Thessalonians 2:12.
That you would walk worthy of God who called you to his own kingdom and glory.
Walk worthy again of our calling. Okay. Get the big picture now about how to walk. And of course, you know I like to end up in the book of Revelation. Okay. Revelation 3, verse 4. If you have a few people in Sardis that have not spoiled their garments, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So, if we don't spoil our garments, if we do, we walk like we need to in this life, according to this verse, we'll be with Jesus in heaven. Any questions or comments before we go into the next few verses? Okay, seeing none. We will start at verse number 7 and run through 11, where we ended up, a couple of verses each. Verse 7 through 11.
Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining.
The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
Right. Call and teach the teacher. We'll throw this out. Verse 7 and 8. What in the world is he talking about? I'm writing you a new commandment. And the next verse said, no, it's an old commandment, or vice versa. Not writing a new commandment in 7, but in 8 he said, I'm writing a new commandment. Okay, I'm confused. What's verse 7 saying? Yes, I'm making a pun on new commandment, no commandment, okay. Stand first. That's it.
He's just talking about following the word and obeying that to be pleasing to God, which is not a new concept. Jews were held to that same standard, but at the same time, it's a New Testament. So they're supposed to be following Christ's words, not the old law.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah, he just followed that up in verse previously, verse 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, so I was talking about the Old Testament as well. Whoever kept his word and the old commandments had been perfected in him. So the love we have for God, the love that they have for God, but he's not telling them anything that they didn't already know before.
What we're going to do with the phrase which you had heard from the beginning. What is from the beginning? I'll try to get from the beginning, obey God from that point on. Okay, what else?
Be the law.
Okay. Beginning of time? That far back?
Patriarchs, yeah. You go back.
I don't know. when you start talking about, you know, I am not writing a new commandment, okay, but an old one, I guess it's what we do with one you had from the beginning. Remember who's writing. Remember who is the last apostles back in the 90s. Jerusalem already fell, and that 70 AD and all that has gone away. So to me, I guess my question is, where's the beginning point?
Well, could it be from Christ is what I'm thinking. Son of God. And
that's where I put the beginning point. The establishment of the church, the gospel. Mm-hmm. From that point until now. Mm-hmm. Others go back to the beginning of time, creation. Others go back to the comments being made as far as that. So if we take the beginning as the gospel established Acts chapter 2, then the new commandment back then would be what I can point out is like John 13, verse 34, which is reinstated in what we've got here. 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I love you, that you also love one another. That's what commentaries go back to. Now, understand what a commentary is. What is a commentary? Man's interpretation of what scriptures are saying, which sometimes is okay, other times it's not. We have to decipher from ourselves. In looking at this, it, old or new, who, you know, I want to say who cares. Well, it's in the Bible. Point out that it's the love part, okay? Taking the preceding verses and then taking verses 9, 10, and 11, I think the commandment is to love one another. What kind of love is that? Spatial? On the surface?
Spiritual.
Yeah, agape. That's that sacrificing, self-sacrifice, deep sacrifice, one that says, hey, it's, you're hurting, I'm hurting, I want to help you. That's the one that says, you know, the scenario 2 weeks ago, somebody came into this place of worship and says, I want to kill all of you, but the love would be, I'll take one, who would that one be? Would any of them step up and say, hey, take me, let the rest of them go. Agape love would be the love of God the Father. How did he demonstrate that?
With Jesus.
Agape love, okay. Sacrificing our family, or do we save ourselves? Physical family. Somebody comes into the house, same scenario. You and you, which one's going to be? That would be me. I mean, that's the deep commitment of the family. Take me, leave the rest of them love, and pray to God that they will. Okay, God be blessed. So it's the love part, okay? But it comes on down into next verses and starts contrasting. Okay? Apostle John is a writer of contrast. And what is he contrasting first? And with what? Verse 9. Light and darkness. There's light. With a big L. Does make us a difference. Big L, little L. Okay. Big L light is Jesus. Okay. It's not the little L, you know, how to enter in a bushel, you know, back in Matthew, you know, it's not that light. But it's Jesus. He came into the darkness. Remember? Darkness could not comprehend. So he won't comprehend. Okay. If we come to the light, we come to Jesus, okay? So he contrasts that with darkness, and darkness is
sin,
evil, Satan, all that, okay? So verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and yet hate his brother, what situation is he in?
He's in the darkness.
He's in darkness, even though he says, hey, I'm in the light, you hate your brother. Brother here being fellow Christian, fellow Christian spiritual. Okay. Sometimes it could be Christian brothers and sisters, and also family members. Okay, that are Christian. Anyone who loves his brother, verse 10, does what? Abides in the light. Now, you remember last week, we had those verses about abiding in the commandments, abiding in my word. Okay? So there's the negative, there's the positive. You love the brother, you abide in Jesus, there's no cause for stumbling. Again, he goes back to hating. He hates his brother, he's in what? Darkness? What else? Verse 11. He is blinded. What happens to people that are blinded?
They
stumble. Fall into the dead. They don't see the truth that's in front of them. Think of any Bible characters that were blinded?
Paul.
Paul. That's good. Who else?
Well, I don't know if this example of a specific person, but in Matthew 15, verse 15, it says, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if the blind man guides the blind man, both will fall into a pit.
Go on up and find out what group he was telling that to. I think it was the Pharisees.
Exactly.
Pharisees blinded. Weren't they the ones that should have known who Jesus should have been when he was born?
Yeah, they were blinded by the truth. But continue with the thought, we ourselves could be just as guilty. We know that of other denominations that they are guilty, but we could assume that we are following God's word, but truly we are not, and we can lead and cause someone else to follow the same suit. So in that scenario, we can cause us being blind, causing others to be blind as well.
How can we prevent that?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Remember last week? Get into the word daily. One group went to the scriptures to prove what was being taught. The brands, yeah. She didn't take things at face value. They went to the scriptures. They had to call the same as true. So he's in darkness, doesn't know where he's going, blinded, will stumble. Okay. That's what kind of applications can we have with those verses today? Apply those verses to us today, what can we do? So we talk about studying, okay, and obvious. What other applications, if any, out of these verses that we can?
In verse 10, if we're loving our brother, we're abiding in the light, so we're having fellowship with each other.
Oh, where's that fellowship? Heard that before? Okay, yeah. Can we say we love somebody and really not? What would that be? Look for history. Hey, Dan, I really care for you. Then go out. If Dan's in trouble or whatever, I'm going to come help him. What does our action say?
You're a liar.
Yeah. Face value, I'll speak it, but yet won't show it. Our deeds go with us. Thoughts or comments?
I think it just really shows the importance of, you know, how important we are to each other and our care for each other, how important it is.
You know, that's real good being a small group. I know probably the elders think when we get into a bigger setting, we'll still have that small setting closeness. Let's say we end up with this group plus 100. How close would that big group be versus, you know? So as we add, we got to stay, keep that close.
I think, Mark, a couple things. One, that's relative in that the dad that not existing here, they tend to use non-denominational group down in Texas that has 6,000. So double our group to us might be too big.
Right.
In relation to them, it would be, you know, really small, maybe, you know, maybe manageable. But yeah, the larger we get, it's going to be harder to stay together. And then the contrast between verse 9 and 10 in that 9 says, the one who says he is in the light and he hates his brother. And then 10, the one who loves his brother. Like 9 is the one who's saying something but not doing. And verse 10 is actually let my actions speak louder than my words, kind of. So that we ought to be able to worship God and show good deeds to others, whether we're saying those kind of things or not, our actions will show what where our heart is.
I probably asked this question in the wrong way, kind of go out and answer, but verse 11 says, one who hates his brother, what does scripture say about if you have, use the word hate to a brother, what should happen between the two? It's kind of driving down another. So if I hate somebody and you know I hate somebody, then we need to get together. Right? Get together, figure out what's going on between the two, right? What I'm trying to get, you know, the malt and bean, okay? That scenario, don't let that fester. Because what will hate festering grow into? Probably
sin,
anger. The anger gets bigger and then bigger, and all of a sudden when it blows, it's not good. But when it's down manifest, does that make sense? No, we don't ask that right. Let's see. Question six, we answer who is light, and it's Jesus. Give scriptures. I like this. Let's go back to to John. We can spend several months in the book, and that's what we're going to do. Okay? We're not going to read the entire chapter. Okay? This is one that talks about Jesus being the light, coming in the flesh. So if anybody has a conversation with those individuals that says that Jesus went in the flesh, where would you go? Hopefully to John 1, 1 through 14, as far as that. But then again, we're pointing out the light part. So with that, say in John chapter 8, verse 12, not sure where we ended up at, but we'll read 8, 12, and then 9, 5. We're on the back row, James, are you next, or John 8, 12.
Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am light of the world, therefore follow me, will not walk in darkness, but will have no light of life.
Okay. Point being, I'm trying to get us focused, Jesus and that big L light, okay? Dave, John 9, 5. John 9, 5.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Like Jesus, the light of the world. Dan, coming up here to you, John 12, 46. John 12, verse 46.
I've come into the world as light, but whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness.
All right, light, light, light. Then you get this verse right here. It says, come into the light of the world, and what is our part? According to this verse, you have to believe in Him, believe in Jesus.
He was in Him.
Janet, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. And then Tim, 2 Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 6.
For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
God has given us the light, that is Jesus, shine in darkness. Shine in whose heart? Our hearts, okay. Give us knowledge, okay. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9.
For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
Okay, then he goes on further. But these two verses been together, trying to formulate that we are no longer in darkness, we're in the light, we're children of light, therefore we need to walk in the matter of evil. Right. Now, I'll ask another question, but it won't come out right. Jesus was sinless, that we have to walk according to Him. Does that mean that we need to be sinless? Is it possible?
Strive to be sinless.
Strive to be sinless, but if not possible, we have what?
Advocate.
There you go. He's with me. First one, the advocate. Okay. Realizing that the only person in the world that's sinless is Jesus. Realizing the plan of salvation, the Father gave us a way out.
And that imitate, that verse about imitate is 1 Corinthians 11:1.
A way out. What other passages of scripture says about being tempted but yet have a way out?
1 Corinthians 10:13.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good. Tommy there. Up on the channel there. Know your Bible. All right. EJ, you want to read Colossians 1:12? Okay. We walk in the light, that is true. If we have fellowship with Him and everything that we've talked about this, what's the reward? Inheritance of the saints in the light. There's our inheritance. When does God get to heaven? Temple here, heaven permanent. Picture heaven. What's not there? Sin, darkness, no pain, all the good stuff. Last one out of the year is going to be back in 1 John. Actually, it's going to be in the first chapter. Verses 5, Tony, and then verse 7. 1 John 1:5, and then 7.
This is a message which we have heard from the Lord and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
So it's more than just reading verse number 6 and or 1 John 2. About life, walking in that manner. Okay. A little bit more in God. Questions or comments? Question number 7, starting to deviate at all. What type of love is under discussion in verse 9 through 11? Agape, yeah. Agape love, okay. Don't try to be a Greek scholar. Get the software. That's the only way I figure out which love is talking about at what time. Okay. This is that agape love here. Other passages that can come out in memory of agape love would be John 3:16, remember that one? Okay. John 15:12-13, Romans 12:9, and Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25 for the husbands, that's a very important verse. I'll let y'all go look it up. It has agape love in that verse. Okay, husbands, love your wives. That's the verse there. Okay. We answered question 8 already. All right. Verses 12 through 14. I don't know where we ended up at. Mark?
Question?
Oh, we didn't talk about darkness? Well, y'all want to talk about darkness on.
In the church, I don't think you're going to find people who say, I absolutely hate so-and-so. You know? I don't think anybody would have the guts to do that. See, I don't like what that person's doing.
Okay.
But within congregations, not here, but other congregations, you see people competing with one another. Competing for preeminence. Or... competing to be the best teacher or the best this or the best that. And for us to all walk in the light as God's wanting us to, we can't have those kinds of feelings with one another. It needs to be all about filling everybody up. We're all working for the same price. We're all going to the same place. Nobody's going to be left behind. We don't want anybody left behind. So it's not about stepping on one another to get where you want to go.
Who in the Bible? New Testament? Who in the Bible? That strove after preeminence. I've been in congregations that, you know, pointed out, you know, there wasn't hatred there, but you can tell by their actions. How can you tell by their actions?
Certain ones, or,
you know, or there's an outing somewhere, maybe at that point they don't go to it. I mean, it's obvious.
There is no action.
Yeah. And it's about, what is it, another the fruits or fruit by the labor or fruit by their action, you know, they don't act like that. Is that a good tree or a bad tree?
Yeah.
What else about darkness? We would spend a lot of time on the light part. I didn't think about spending time on the darkness. What does darkness represent?
Sin.
Oh, we can go through the list of sin, right? If I can use the word, who's the master of darkness? I guess devil, Satan. How does he work?
By temptation.
Okay. Now I lay the groundwork here from verse 15 and 16. Does he pursue after the world or after Christians? That's not a trick question.
He's got some Christian, but Christian.
Are Christian Christians?
He's got the world.
He's got the world, so he's going to come after who he don't have, which are Christians. Christians in the general sense, like the world thinks, or us. Okay? How can we defend against that?
The word.
Part of it? Looking for specific passages.
Put your armor on?
Yep. Ephesians 5 or 6, I think. In Ephesians, it says put the whole armor of God on. Can't put it on piece by piece to piece and miss a piece. If you miss a piece, what happens?
You're vulnerable.
Okay. So you got to put the helmet on, the breastplate, the truth guarded around, shoes of preparation, and
your sword.
The sword. The only offensive weapon is the sword, which is
word.
So we need to be in the Word, right? Study. Meditate on. Because the worst thing that I told the teenage class way back, weeks ago when we started that lesson, was the character. It's not in a big group like this that defines our character. We find our character if we're at home alone by ourselves. What do we do? Yeah, well, maybe vulnerable at that point because you got all types of temptations, ways to get in and see things that shouldn't be seen or whatever, blah, blah, and all that. You know what I'm saying? Love the internet, but it's one of our worst enemies. Because they're playing the phone. Yes, you go.
If you got the heart, you can resist.
Yep, that's good. But it's tough by ourselves, or maybe. He's going to look at our most vulnerable places they can. It may be the loss of a loved one at a moment there that something can happen. Loss of work. I mean, anything that you can just start driving a little wedge.
Yes. Well, what I preached on Sunday was when we find ourselves in vulnerable positions, knowing what the escape is to get out of that situation so that, you know, temptation or desire, you know, doesn't lead
as intercessors, right? So knowing, you know, when we're at that crossroads, you know, when it's going left is going to be sin, right's going to be avoiding sin. So just knowing the circumstances you're in and making the right decision.
And it's tough, especially if you have to deal with a puppet a lot, you know, versus those that don't as much. There are many times I had to detour around the store. Or go by and just look at the floor when I'm going by, or go to our posters, and I just wish I could rip out a few on this place. I mean, it's tough, but that's the way that Satan can work, at least on me. Other things? Anything else?
Mark, I'm just saying, verse 11 at the end of that, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Thinking about somebody though that's walking around with their eyes open, right? But they're blinded because they can't see the truth. Not somebody that's, you know, got their eyes closed, and because they've got them closed, I'm not seeing what's out there. So I'm walking right into it, you know, in this situation. Because the darkness has blinded their eyes, and that sin is so much around us, even with our eyes wide open, sometimes because we're so jaded by the things that we become immune to, we don't see that it's dark. You know, it's perfectly bright. We think it's light, but it's darkness.
Let me ask you unrehearsed question. Darkness is blind. If somebody, you know, trying to figure out how to ask this, somebody falls away, is that not in darkness? Is there a way back? Okay, there's always a way back if they're willing to take the way back. Folks, as Tim was mentioning out there, you know, there is a way back out of darkness. They just have to do what?
Yeah,
come to the light. Yes, Mike.
When you were mentioning Satan, maybe thing, you know, I've heard the phrase before, you know, Satan doesn't have to get us to worship him, he just has to get us to not worship God and serve him. So it's not as though we have to pledge our allegiance to him,
right.
But you know, he can use complacency. And you know, we read the verse that about increasing in knowledge, you know, I need to be more knowledgeable now than I was a year ago. And that needs to be, you know, there needs to be a trend going up, you know, for each of us. When we become complacent. There's not some checklist, you know, that God has that says, okay, you know, Mike Johnson's here three times, you know, at services, and then that takes care of it. But you know, there needs to be a constant serving and walk, as we read the verses, you know, a habit of life, how we serve him.
It could be into this. Some of our children come up and ask us a question, Bible question, or a school question. Science goes into the Bible. If we don't have the answer, we don't get back to our child with an answer. What does that do for the child? Maybe start some doubts. Good start some doubts, right? Well, my parents didn't know how to answer the creation that took millions of years. We couldn't give them a straight answer out of biblical answer. So therefore, you know, took it away. And next year they'll come up with, and there's that millions of years of creation, and starts opening up. Well, they can't explain this, so I'm not going to ask them about marriage, homosexuality, all these other, you know. So it starts opening up the floodgates, huh? Another way the devil's looking at trying to get to us. So when our kids have a question, we don't have an answer from the Bible. We need to get that answer and get it to them, shore them up. Because what are we doing with our kids? They're our next generations. It's coming up. Any comments or questions? We'll end it right there. Okay, we'll end and start with verse number 12.
Just like Sunday morning.
All right, take your handbooks number 394. Make sure I have to say that right. 394. Leaning on the everlasting arms. We'll sing all three verses, and Brother Andrew will have the Wednesday night talk. 394.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, the everlasting arms.
Hymn number 421 would be the invitation hymn. 421.
If we open up our Bibles and turn to James chapter 5, there was a phrase that caught my attention when I went back to review and the study last week, actually. James chapter 5, there are like a phrase or two that are kind of very similar that I want to kind of focus for a few moments this evening. To kind of get the context, let's start reading in verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets early and late rains. You too be patient.
Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of the suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, but count those blessed who endured, who have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The phrases that really jumped out at me, and I spent some time thinking about it. The last part in verse 8, it says, for the coming of the Lord is near. And it continues that thought at the last part of verse 9 also. And it says, behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And I got to thinking, and when we are expecting guests, that we send out invitations or notify saying, you may come over by such time, such date, and we will be ready. We are anticipating till they come. When we are anticipating, we are preparing. We're trying to make sure that all the accommodations are ready and set, so that when they are here, present, that we may be entertaining, that we have a set schedule of what certain things we're about to do. And when I'm thinking about us as Christians, we know that the Lord is coming. We know that the day of judgment, when Jesus comes, those who are found righteous will go with them for all eternity in heaven. And so that we should be standing here waiting. We know that he's coming. We do not know the time or the date. But we should have the actions of the anticipation of wanting to be ready for whenever he does come and knocks on that door. That reminds me of the song, Who at the Door is Standing? We need to be ready to open that door and invite him into our lives. But also on the flip side, if we are not anticipating, not eagerly waiting and watching for when Jesus does come, what are we doing? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We may be very familiar with this passage, but this is when both Adam and Eve had sinned. And in verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed thick leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I can kind of picture this with growing up, and I imagine all of you as well, that when we have done something wrong, let's say that we have disobeyed whatever our parents have told us, oftentimes we try to run away. We try to find a remote place to try to hide ourselves, hoping that we're not going to be found, because we know what's going to end up happening. We know that we're going to face the consequences based upon our actions. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They knew that God had told them specifically not to eat of a certain tree. And what they did, they went and they ate of the certain tree, and when they have realized that they have sinned, they took actions and tried to hide and to hide from God. And I like this passage because it even mentions that it says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. And that's exactly how I would imagine when I've done something wrong, that I can hear my parents approaching and coming, and I knew what was about to happen. Again, we know that there will be a second coming. We know that Jesus will come and he will judge each and every one of us. If we are ready or not, that is up to each and every one of us here. We do know that all of the promises that God has made throughout the scriptures, each and every one of them was fulfilled. So we have the confidence that Jesus will come. But also know that those who are not found faithful will be punished. If we go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says that the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some may count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish,
but all to come to repentance. So now we have an opportunity. We have the opportunity, if we are not Christians, to realize that we need to be a part of God's family. If we are Christians and are found faithful, we're going to be eagerly waiting and anticipating when Jesus does come. And when we know that, we can have that confidence that we're doing everything possible to please Him according through God's Word. When we do that, we know that we're going to open that door, so to speak. We're waiting, ready to meet God and to be in His presence for all eternity. But if you realize also that even as Christians, we do make mistakes. We do sin. We give in to temptations. We can still act now, because we can just look and examine ourselves and say, well, I'll fix that later. I will take care of that on another time. It'll be okay. What we oftentimes, like Adam and Eve, what we're going to end up doing is finding any possible excuse or ways to try to hide ourselves. And we know that we cannot hide from God. But if we come and confess to one another and repent of our sins, then we can be right with God as well. In James chapter 5, as we have started at the end of that chapter, actually, it's not that passage. Actually, it is. James 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can be accomplished much. So again, if we can find ways in our lives that we are in error with God, we need to take care of that as quickly as possible. As a final passage, just to think before we stand and sing, as part of the invitation, in 1 John chapter 5, it says in verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, but the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And we'll use this as a foundation of the invitation. If you're not a child of God, as is mentioned, you do not have Christ. And if you do not have Christ, you do not have life. And you will not have or be able to see the taste of the eternal life that God has provided all those who are found righteousness. But if you are a child of God and you realize that there's sin in your life, you need to take care of that immediately as well. If you're subject to the call, please come forward as we stand and sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. manger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved.
Just called Vander, they got Daniel, James, TJ, Kevin, I mean a whole group. A few announcements I know of. I look around, front row is kind of empty. Courtney's still traveling for work. Cam and the girls. We got the Wigginsons. I know I'm missing some folks.
Tina,
okay, you're right, we're covering. Okay, wow. See what kind of day I've had as far as that. News on the bulletin, just to let you know, I think when I started we had around 70, 71, it's up to 83. Okay, we're losing and adding, but now we're adding more than we're losing. So that's the curtain, 83 going out at one time. So classroom material, yes, new quarters, just around the corner, it'll be here Sunday as far as class, but the teachers go ahead and get prepared.
Yeah. Ladies Bible class is next Monday. They postponed it from this Monday to next Monday, so she'll be on the ladies list. And Chuck and Deb will be back on Friday. I talked to him today, and the pews that are over in the building in Illinois, well, the building's being sold, so they need us to get the pews. So we have some place to store those over there. So hopefully by the end of September, the pews will actually be out of the building that they're in, and will be in a storage waiting to come over here once we have the renovations done over here. So you think about that. And then this Saturday, I'm leaving, and I'll be out of town for 2 weeks. country for 2 weeks.
Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, Mallory, found out today, is going to need to have an outpatient surgery in the next few days related to the removal of some cysts. We don't know when it will be yet, but when we do, I will let everybody know.
Good. Anything else?
The Johnson put a bid on a house today, so let's pray for them to get out of their hotel.
All right, very good. Brother TJ, you lead us in a close of prayer, please.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for another beautiful day here on earth, another midweek opportunity to gather together and study your word and sing songs and praise to you. We thank you for all the blessings that we're given, but we're remembering at this time those that have recently had issues, surgery, sickness, Mallory with her upcoming procedure, Tina with her procedure she just had. We remember those that are traveling at this time. We ask that you be with them and bring them home safely, that they may return to us and study with us and praise you with us. We ask that you keep us safe. We ask that we always be aware of your word, and when needed, we go to it and see what you would have us do and see your will for us. We thank you for your son and his willingness to come and die on the cross so that we may have the opportunity to spend eternity with you in heaven. We thank you for all the blessings that we have. We ask that you forgive us of our sins when we fail you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.